never filtered, always fun.
How about Bruce Boudreau after the game? He is carving his team every 4 or 5 games.
Yeah. He's like, well, they step it up, and we just don't try it. So. With his tie undone, and he's just a mess.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050, the official voice of the Leafs.
Final hour Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN Go app. Now on TSN 2, Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. Big night tonight downtown. TFC at BMO looking to move on to the MLS Cup. Raps at home against the Hornets. Raps do not, they've got a weird schedule. They've got like 3 games in the next 13 days. I believe all of them are at home. Like, you just don't see that very often. But I guess you got to take advantage. Get your rest. Win the games that you do play.
Right.
If you got guys that are banged up, don't practice.
Yeah, it's just...
chill out if you have to. And
managing it. That's what it is.
It's all about management. It's all about sports science.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a very new development in the sporting world. And we got Lou Lamoriello up in a moment. I wouldn't mind asking him that.
Actually, that's a great question to ask about, you know, how much is put into it. Because actually, Babs stepped back and said he'd like a little Saskatchewan science as far as the morning skates. Because he had given the guys the option and they didn't have great starts. So he had took that back and said, you know what? It's more about Saskatchewan.
I would always just leave the morning skates just optional. You think you need it, go ahead. If you don't,
but if you're a veteran team, you can do that. I think in Babs's mind, he's saying there's some young guys that are maybe taking optionals and are not starting on time in his mind.
There is nothing you can do on that ice in the morning, the day of a game, that can help you at night. Nothing. Nothing.
He believes something's going on because I think
you get paid at 7 p.m.
I'm with you, but Ray said last night, I believe he said that Babcock was yelling on the bench during the Washington game, maybe, that's it, no more optional skates. Like mid-game, he was seething about the optional skate earlier that day.
That was back-to-back, though.
I hear you, but listen, when you guys had back-to-backs, I'm sure you'd still have a skate in the morning.
You wouldn't skate that morning on a back-to-back because you'd play the night before.
Very optional.
The guys who played, a lot of times it was the guys who played 10 or less minutes. It was the backup goalie. It was always an optional.
Yeah, and a lot of times you would flip the ice times and you would give the team was sitting waiting. They could have the early morning skate and you could go out later.
But I know the league is trending to get away from the morning skate. I never really had an option in my career. Like, I wasn't to a point where I was in a 60-game starter, so I was like, I'm going to take tomorrow. I skated every day. I had to. But there were other players that were bigger contributors, and those guys would be given the option. A lot of times it was, hey, it's not optional, but it's only optional for a couple, handful of guys. Those guys aren't seeing the ice. Big minutes guys. So that's, I don't even know if that comes back to sports science. I think that's gut instinct from the coach.
Well, and I understand that, especially defensemen. If a guy plays 30 minutes the night before,
he doesn't need it.
He need it? And come the playoff time, when the games are the most important, very rarely do you have skates at all. You don't practice.
You take morning skate, but you'd have the day off in between.
No practice, but the morning you get kind of loose the next day.
So you don't practice.
There was no practices in playoffs. There's really no practices for the regulars.
Just get yourself ready for game day. And
you play every second day. So it was 20-minute skate morning of the day of the game. And play that night, day off the next day, recover, you know, all of that stuff. And the Black Aces and the guys who didn't play much, those are the guys who skated.
They were still getting bag skating.
Every day.
Like, what's the point of bag skating a guy that late into the season? Let's say you're down 3-0 in a series. The off season is 12 hours
away. It's looming, yeah.
Why do you need to bag skate a guy?
The coaches are quite smart about that. You play scrimmages. I told you where Kelly Chase skated by and punched me in the head one time.
Mm-hmm.
That was in Anaheim in a back-to-back situation where
playoffs?
The guy played the night before. No, it wasn't playoff situation, but I have skated with those guys in the playoffs. A lot of times it's the team, and then they bring out the aces, and there's some crossover. But The coaches are smart. They don't embarrass those guys. They have to put their work in. You have to be ready if you get called in. You've got to be game sharp.
But what does a bag skate do for you?
Keeps you at least in
the, that day, I'm saying. Like, you're not going in that night. You kind of know you're not going in that
night.
But
you have to be, you got to be a pro.
Yeah, listen, you're getting paid a lot of money.
Yeah.
You know, everyone has to work for a living.
You have to be a pro and show up to work every day, regardless if you're getting skated or you're playing that night.
Well, listen, I'm not saying you would complain about it if you are one of those guys out there. If you had the stones to walk in as a guy who's not even close to being in the lineup and you suggested you don't want to be bag skated anymore, there's a pretty good chance you'll be shown the exit, like, get the hell out of here.
Yeah, you get a call from the general manager and say, you know what, we're
going to... Do you realize who you are?
Exactly.
Like, you don't play. But you just practice.
Most players in that situation know their lane. That's what I would think.
I would think so, too. Anyway, Leafs are 16-9-1. Here's the GM of the team, Lou Lamoriello. How you doing, Lou?
Very well, thank you.
We're just talking about sports science and how it feels like it's really infiltrated the game over the past few years, and the focus on rest and recovery and sleep. I mean, you're an old-school guy. I don't think sports science was kicking around in the 80s. How have you adapted to it, and how much faith do you put into it?
Well, first of all, I think it's always been there. I think the old proverb of eat right, sleep right, and drink right was still the basis of a lot of success for a lot of elite people. I think where we are today with the technology that has been created and the focus on it, I think that's why we see the athletes that we have, because of the education that is out there, where other people either did it naturally or it came from their upbringing as far as the way they were raised. I think it's fantastic. All you have to do is look at the extension of the careers of different people. Just look at the success that people have had because of the way they've trained, because of what they put in their bodies, naturally. And I think that it's healthy and it's here to stay.
Well, I get the luxury of sitting beside two Adonises every single day in studio right here. Two guys, basically Gary Roberts and Rod Brindamore.
Yeah, I don't
right
know.
Right beside
about
me
that.
Every single day.
Notice how he said the longevity of some guys' careers? I retired at 31.
Anyway, you guys with a big win last night, an impressive win on the road. 16-9-1. How happy are you with your team's play so far this season?
Well, there's no question. I think we feel good about the team we have. Certainly the record in the league that we're in now with the parity is a good record. But I believe we have a ways to go. And that's the good news. The good news is that there is room for improvement. The good news is that we're learning how to cope with different situations at different times where inexperience sometimes shows. We have the right veterans here to help our younger players along with experience. So I think the process is going well. We have a lot more to get and a lot more to do.
How do you deal with some of the younger players, or do you leave it all up to Mike, Lou? Just, the Marners, Nylander, the team's having success, but they're struggling to put the puck in the net. Do you ever have chats with them? I had numerous with Jimmy Rutherford over the years. How do you handle that, or do you leave it up to the coaching staff?
Well, I think all of us communicate it one time or another, whatever, is appropriate, and whatever the situation might be. This is good for them. Things are not easy in this world. Mm-hmm. And you have to fight through different things. And, the mental toughness end of it is, no matter how things are going, good, bad, or indifferent, you have to stay the course, continue to do things right day in and day out. And I think that's what we're learning. These players that you're talking about, they're talented. They want to be good. And that's probably the common denominator that I have the most respect for of our young players, is that they want to do the things that are necessary to be good. But sometimes we all have to realize there's other people who want to be good too. So, we have to be better. And that if things are not going right, just stay the course. Don't change.
Lou, we were talking off air about, it's not even the rule changes, but the enforcement of the rules, especially slashing. How has that affected the league from your standpoint and affected your team?
Well, first of all, I think that we saw in the exhibition games, you know, how many slashing penalties there were. And players quickly get used to what the rules are. Maybe they've been slightly relaxed. But not to the point where slashing is back. And I think that the game is in a better state. The intent was always to have the skilled players to be allowed for them to do the things that they can to have success. And it's there. I think the rules that have been put in are positive. Where the game is today with the speed, I was asked that question earlier today. What do you think the biggest change is in the game over the years? I put two words, speed and youth and speed. I'm really supportive of what's transpired.
With Leafs GM Lou Lamoriello, a couple moments ago, you said you feel good about your team, but there's still a ways to go and room for improvement. There doesn't seem to be a lot of movement throughout the league in terms of trades. Is that you indicating you're hoping for internal improvement? And if so, whereabouts?
Without question. I think I don't think there's anybody who cannot improve. And, you know, just keeping that focus and knowing that if you're all on the same page and you're all working towards the same direction, one will pick each other up. And that's why, to me, last night's game was so pleasing. I think it was one of the games that was, you know, we played pretty well and we had contributions in every area, not necessarily on the scoreboard, but because, you know, the score is indicative of who wins and loses, but the pieces that get to winning and losing sometimes don't always get the credit or the recognition. And I think that's what we all have to understand, that this is a team game. Points are one thing, but success has to come from, you know, each and every individual collectively.
Is that rocket targeted for the top corner from Polak what you're looking for from him, Lou?
Well, hey, I hope he can find that top corner like he did last night every night.
No kidding. What a shot. What a beauty.
There's no pictures of the goal on the score sheet, I'll tell you that.
That's right. It's not how, and it's how many.
By the way, it couldn't have happened to a better guy in that situation, and I'm sure you saw the bench, the excitement you have for Rowan, because he's one of the hottest workers you ever want to be around and one of the most liked players also.
Yeah, they were fired up. There's been a lot of conversation about the line changing from Mike Babcock this year compared to previous years, specifically last year. Why do you think that is? Why do you believe Mike Babcock is deciding to change up his lines as much as he is?
Well, you know, if Mike is changing the lines, he's doing it for a reason. So let's start there. And I really enjoy listening sometimes or to hearing about, you know, how new that is of sometimes line changing. You go back to history, you never even knew the same line in warm-ups who was going to play in a game. And now, you know, if there's one player changed, it's almost monumental that something's wrong. It all depends upon who you're playing, when you're playing, how a player is playing. And remember, when Mike was putting in the system and the foundation to get people to understand that, you know, you stay pretty consistent. I think where we're at, we have to be interchangeable parts depending upon, you know, who we play, when we play, where we play to have success.
Always appreciate the time. Thank you for doing this, Lou.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
There's Lou Lamoriello. It's an interesting point that hasn't really been brought up, that last year there was still an emphasis for implementing a system.
For sure.
And the consistency of line mates, I mean, you guys can speak to that. I guess, you know, it may be important. Maybe Babcock thought that was important. Now if he feels like the whole team, for the most part, knows the system, opens the door to more changes.
It's all about managing the personalities and motivating and keeping guys on edge and finding lines that can have success. It's not just left-handed shot with right-handed shot. There's a lot that goes into it. If something's going good, you obviously don't want change, but if guys aren't producing, I think Craig talked about it, and we'll maybe play his rant, but you got to produce to get yourself into a favorable position.
Yeah, Craig had a beauty on the lunch.
Let's play it.
Do we have it, Mons?
Yeah, Craig.
Grab the Craig button.
Doesn't have it. Why would he? He's talking to the other guy that's in there.
Well, what do you think? He just sits there with Craig Button queued up at all times?
He should, the only
we
thing
should
he
play
should,
the Phil.
I was just going to say, the only thing he should have queued up today is the Phil Kessel commercial.
Which one would you rather play? You want to play both?
I want to play both.
I know his answer.
I want to play Craig.
You want to play Craig?
Yes.
Okay, we'll play Craig first. Here's what he had to say about the kids, and then we'll get to Phil.
Yeah.
Okay? We're still finding it? All right, Mullen will find it. Mullen's going to just strangle you after the show. He's not happy with me either.
No, he's...
We're not happy with him.
Oh, we're happy
with
Mullen.
What did he do?
We're happy with Al?
We're happy with Mullen. We're always happy with
Mullen. Now we got to get a replacement for Mullen.
Never.
Well, Mullen's got Jamaica in his sights, too. He's out of here next week, too.
The holidays around here, I've never seen anything like it.
He and
you
Hunt will be giving daps.
You guys rinse me for taking one day every 3 months.
It's not every 3 months.
It's more than that, and it was a personal
It's more
day.
Than that, and it was a personal
day. How often is it? I've had one since September 7th.
It was a personal day, though.
I had
personal
to go
day.
The chalet.
I don't even know what the personal
it's
day
a,
even means.
It's a personal day. Like hugs and kisses.
It's like
a little
teachers.
Bubble
once
bath.
In a while, they just say, "You know what? I'm going to
no,
take
teachers
a day off."
Every
don't you deserve
a day
off once in a while?
Yeah, called the weekend, dude.
No,
it's called the weekend.
Yeah, there's 2 days involved in that.
Look into it. This guy doesn't even get weekends. This
I don't
guy's
care.
A lunatic.
We're not the same people. I need to refresh and recharge.
You need a bubble
like,
bath.
I need a day
candles
off
lit.
Tomorrow,
bottle
or no,
of wine.
Friday. I have no business being here.
Yeah, you do.
Two late games in a week, and then coming back in. I can't
what,
do it.
Do we have the game tomorrow night on TSN?
Yes, we do.
It's a 9 o'clock start.
Dude, yes. I don't care. I get burnt out.
From what?
Working.
I got like 3 hits.
Do you have the credit? All right, Mullen's ready. He's going to sewer you. Yeah, he's going to play some clip of you like saying something you shouldn't be saying. But
exactly.
All right, here's Craig earlier. I don't even know what this is all about. So
I told young kids you guys about performing.
It's real simple. It's about productivity. Mike Babcock is about productivity. Okay, and there's a lot of ways that he measures productivity. And if you're going to be productive, you're going to play. If you're not, I don't care if you're an offensive player. If you're not productive, you're not playing. It's the Bill Belichick model. Last year, Mike Babcock came in, and he was really patient. And I really felt that this year, Mike needed to be more of a bear. And he has been that. You know what, Nylander? It's not good enough. You're not playing. Marner, it's not good enough. You're not playing. Don't tell me what you can do. Don't tell me you need more minutes. Earn your minutes. And when you earn your minutes, you're going to earn your confidence. Mike's been very clear on that. This idea, I need to play more. Oh, please. Can my dad phone you? Like, seriously. It's big boy hockey.
Yeah.
And these guys have been inconsistent at different points in the season.
It's a good rant.
Oh, can my dad phone you?
That's a good rant by Craig.
It is a good rant by Craig. Do you agree with it?
Bang on.
Yeah, I think he's right. Yeah, I think he's right.
But
I mean,
he's had the luxury, I'm talking Mike Babcock, through a winning season so far to do that type of stuff.
My issue with it, and not with Craig's take, is the inconsistencies of applying that philosophy to the whole team.
Correct.
Yeah, if Marner, Nylander, Matthews, if they're not playing well, they don't play. But why is Komarov playing all the time? Why is Bozak playing? There have been some vets who I don't think have performed that well that continue to go out there.
Matthews is never going to be in that boat.
Probably not, based on his DNA and the way he performs.
It's more Marner, Nylander. Those are guys I still believe Mike Babcock is looking to shape as players. It took a while for Nazem Kadri to be shaped.
Mm-hmm. And he's exceeded expectations.
We're singing his praises in the last 2 years because he's really rounded out into a nice player. He's not 21. He's 27 years old.
Mm-hmm.
It took him a long time to arrive as a player. He had flashes. We all knew he had skill. He had an edge. He had a bite. He's put it all together. It took him a long time. I don't think it's going to take Nylander and Marner that long to put it all together. But Babcock has the luxury with a team that's got depth, and you can move guys up and down the lineup. If Nylander's struggling, we just talked about it. Connor Brown can go and play in that spot, no problem, because he's a good player. Marlowe can slide up and down and in the middle, anywhere he needs to go.
They've got flexibility with the lineup.
And that's why Mike Babcock can do that.
Do you want to hear the Phil clip
yes,
now? Because
that
this
is
a clip
maker.
That, I mean, it's a game changer.
It's the best.
This is a game changer. How they got him to do this and agreed to do this is beyond me. The visual brings it to a completely different level. So do yourself a favor and find it. The Pens tweeted this out, but this is for a future promotion. Pens Islanders in Pittsburgh, December 7th. Here's Phil Kessel, the greatest salesman in history.
The force is strong with the Penguins. Join us and fight the dark side when we battle the Islanders on December 7th during our special Star Wars theme night. Buy tickets, you must. Visit PittsburghPenguins.com. May the force be with you.
May the force be with you.
May the force be with you.
Buy tickets or must?
Yeah.
Buy tickets, you must.
You must.
The Yoda. So he went Yoda. He claimed to be Skywalker off the top, but then he puts
legend.
On a Darth Vader mask at the end of it.
I don't know what he was doing in that. But
may the force be with you.
And you could hear him talking underneath the mask.
So good. How many takes do you think that took for Phil?
12.
No, I think he would just say to the guy, I'm reading this once and I'm done, and deal with whatever
well,
I say.
Well, he carves up Islanders. Like, listen to how he kind of skates over Islanders. That. Probably worthy of another take, but you might be right. Phil just said, I'm one take, Jake, and I'm out of here.
Yeah, because he does carve up Islanders.
It is. The force is strong with the Penguins. Join us and fight the dark side when we battle the Islanders.
He's got some Joe Namath going on there.
Yeah, he does.
All right, KJ's coming up. TFC Columbus at BMO tonight. Guaranteed win night? I mean, it kind of has to be to save the season. We'll tee that up with KJ next. TSN 1050 soccer coverage for the road to MLS Cup continues with the MLS playoffs. Seeing TFC facing rival Columbus tonight in the Eastern Conference Championship. Second leg Wednesday, 7:30. That would be tonight. Watch all the action on TSN. Hoping to catch up with our main man, Christian Jack, live from BMO Field. KJ, I believe, is doing the rounds, catching up with Jovinko, chatting with Altidore. Probably.
Are we going to get him to have a prediction like Wheels?
I don't know if KJ does predictions. Like, sometimes guys on the panel don't want to do that.
Well, yeah, isn't he?
Bob McKenzie refuses.
Well, yeah, plus you have to be somewhat non-biased, do you not?
Well, I suppose you do, but if you really believe the home team is going to win, what's wrong with that?
Yeah, that's fair, because if he just says, listen, this team should win by a couple goals.
TFC's better, I think they're going to win.
Homer. Yes, no, exactly. It's just saying, this is what I would predict, but we don't want to put him on the spot.
Well, I guess we could. We got him on the line. Do you want to just throw a missile at him right off the bat?
Really? All right, we can do that.
All right, here's our TSN soccer analyst live from BMO Field ahead of the match tonight, Christian KJ Jack. What's up, KJ?
How's it going? I heard I've got a 100-mile-an-hour fastball coming at me. What's going on?
Well, Noodles wants to put money on whoever's going to win tonight, so he needs your expert analysis. Who's going to win the game?
I'm not telling Noodles what to do with his money.
Exactly. No, we were just saying, do you have to say non-bias, or would you, in your opinion, can you choose to say, you know, this team should win because of this?
Yeah, okay. Well, look, without question, Toronto FC should win this. You know, this is a far superior team in all aspects, talent-wise. Columbus have had a nice run. They've got some nice players. We can talk them up if anybody cares. But this is a team, this is a franchise, this is an organization that expects to win tonight, should win tonight. But I don't know what kind of value of money you're going to get when you put the money on TFC. I haven't looked at the odds, but I'm not willing to show. I'm not sure if it's worth a punt, but I'm not saying they're going to win, but they should win.
Yeah, there's some big juice you're going to have to pay with that, because TFC heavily favored tonight, and they're getting two of their big boys back in Jovinko and Altidore. And I think Altidore has been treated differently because of the video and the belief that he wasn't responsible for the red card. Jovinko, he's been criticized more because of his actions and what led to him missing the first leg. How much pressure do you believe is on those two players in particular to perform tonight, considering they missed the first game?
Yeah, I think an enormous pressure, Brian. I think, you know, look, if they don't get it done tonight, Michael Brierley said to us yesterday, if we don't get it done tonight, it's about tonight. I don't agree with that. If they don't get it done tonight, people are going to look at Jovinko and Alto and say, hang on a minute, you're paying these guys how much and they weren't on the field for the first game? You're able to go play that kind of tactics and that style in Columbus. Why? Because your two best players weren't there. Ultimately, they're paid a lot of money to be on the field. Look, the two expert guys who are sitting next to you, they know what it's like to be in the middle of the moment, and I know it's all about emotional control and you can lose your mind sometimes, but I just felt that both examples were unnecessary, and they got involved in both things that they didn't need to get involved in. And look, that might be the storyline that might be dead. It might never be talked about again if they go out and win this tonight and they lift the Eastern Conference trophy. But you're right, a massive amount of pressure is on them, because if they don't get it done, people are going to talk about why they weren't there in Columbus.
Well, they were in survival mode in Columbus. I mean, it was a 0-0 draw. They walked out of there. They said all the right things, that's what they were hoping to accomplish. But then the dust settled, and we caught up with Greg Vanney earlier in the week, and he was like, no, we rolled in there. We wanted to win, and they didn't win. And Columbus was the better side. They had more pressure. How do you expect TFC to, you know, turn the tide and basically take over the game in terms of attack tonight?
Well, it comes down to those two, but it comes down to Victor Vasquez as well. Look, the problem in Columbus was that they played one striker up front in Tosin Ricketts, and the moment they tried to find him, when they did find him, they couldn't rotate the possession and keep the ball. And, you know, very often you give it away quickly, and then it became a very disjointed affair, a quick turnover and transition from one end to the other. So the great thing about Javinko and Alstor is, yes, they provide ammunition, yes, they provide goals, but when you get the ball to them, often they keep the ball as well, and that's so vital, because you can get other midfielders involved as well. So, look, it's down to those two. They start fast in these games as well. But with that, you know, that tiebreaker, that overriding the game here, in terms of if Columbus get that away goal, it could lead to being a very nervous night.
KJ, do you think Javinko's learned from the past? As much as he's a dynamic player, probably the league's best, it seems like in big-time moments he can kind of lose his composure. How do you see his emotions being tonight? He's obviously an awesome player, but he's got to keep it under control, doesn't he?
Yeah, Jeff, I agree with that. I mean, you know what it's like to be a great player in a great sport, and a part of that is about emotional control and keeping your emotions intact. You know, he showed very little remorse in the 24 days when he's not played, talking anytime he wanted to talk, and you don't get a hold of him a lot. But when he did talk, he didn't really show any kind of responsibility for the actions that displayed to the second yellow card in the Red Bull series. So, I understand what he goes through. You know, no other player in the league gets the amount of physical abuse against him than he does. But that's what you sign up for when you're the best player in the league. That's what when you're running for MVPs every year, you're going to get different treatment. It's all a battle of whether the referee comes out tonight and protects him. If he doesn't, he has the ability once again to lose his mind out there. And I think that's what Columbus are talking about. They've already talked about it a little bit in terms of when he's not on his game emotionally, sometimes it can definitely affect his game technically as well.
We were talking about one of our faves earlier, Mr. Stephen Caldwell. We would like to know what it is like having pints with that gentleman. Have you ever done so?
Oh, many times. Me and Stevie go way back, and we were in England last January. And let's just say that, you know, the guy is a complete professional behind the microphone. But much like you guys, he knows how to have a good time.
He is so Scottish. I love that guy.
If TFC goes to the finals, we want to go to a game, and after the victory, we want to go out with you two. Can you make that happen?
Let's do it. You guys come in the booth with us, and then we'll go out and have a post-game party.
Money. Lock it in.
Done.
Post-game party. I love that.
I am jacked up for the game tonight. All right, KJ, enjoy it down there. Thank you, buddy.
Always a pleasure, guys. Chat soon.
There's Christian Jack. Look at Stephen Caldwell on SportsCenter.
He's been in a bar fight or two. I'm telling you, this guy
loves it.
He's so good at it too. Like they're all great.
Yeah,
like,
KJ's
our soccer guys are amazing.
They are.
They work a lot too, man.
They do. Like you're
always at that desk.
We don't give enough love to Luke too.
Oh, Wildman's outstanding.
He's unreal.
Yeah, Luke's a great guy, and he's really good.
Yeah.
And then Duthie's down there doing his thing, and.
No, it's a
Duthie's right in the middle of the action.
All-star.
Love it.
Star-studded affair.
Yes, most certainly. TFC, Columbus tonight on TSN. Raptors taking on Charlotte down at the ACC. Steph and the girls down at the Christmas market.
Yeah.
People are moving and shaking downtown.
There's a lot of things going on right downtown.
Did you see that video of the that woman that went crazy at the Dufferin Mall this afternoon?
No.
Yeah, it's all over Twitter. It'll be all over the news. Like,
what happened?
I guess she just went off. She went after Santa.
Really?
Like, after Santa, and had some very choice words that were very inappropriate.
Was Santa out of control or
no?
What?
By all accounts, Santa just kind of said, all right, thank you, see you later. Like, she really went after this guy verbally.
Really?
And I guess she's not in the festive spirit, but like, the Dufferin Mall is one of the grittier malls in the greater Toronto area.
I think I've been to it.
It's very, very gritty.
She was yelling at him, you're not even real.
Mm-hmm. With some other comments.
I've got to watch this. Yeah. I missed that.
Oh, yeah. I saw it on Twitter earlier. It's all over the place. Because how often do you... Like, who goes after Santa? Guy's probably just getting started here.
Unless he's bad Santa, like Billy Bob Thornton. Those movies...
I'm on my luck break, okay?
Exactly. That is a brilliant movie. Could be one of the best.
It really is. And not even just a great Christmas movie. No. Great movie, period.
I can watch that any time of the year.
I'm with you on that.
It crosses a line, but you have to have that type of, I guess, demented thought process.
Well, it's a comedy, right?
Right.
The second one was okay, not as good.
Yeah, not as good.
Recycled jokes. It always works that way, right? You only get that one chance at a first impression.
Agreed.
But Bad Santa, great movie.
Uh-huh.
Great movie. All right, we're inviting everyone to TSN 1050's party down at the Pint December 10th when 97 takes on 34. Bring out your friends and meet everyone from TSN 1050 and catch what should be a great game. We're also looking for 38 VIPs. We'll have a shot at leaving the Pint with hockey tickets or a trip for two to Vegas for Toronto's New Year's Eve matchup. You can win VIP tickets on Leafs Lunch and Overdrive every weekday before the big party. Again, that's December 10th at the Pint. We get a primer tomorrow night when the Leafs are in Edmonton. So you know the way this works.
Yep.
We hit the roulette. Mullen hits the cheesy sound effect. We announce what number comes up, and that is the number you have to be when we open up the phone lines to pick up a VIP ticket.
Play the cheesy music. Oh, yeah.
Red 37. No, Red 7. Red 7. Al almost had a heart attack behind the glass.
Lose it
Red there. 7 at 416-870-1050. 416-870-1050. Caller 7 picks up a VIP ticket. We'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Tee up a busy night in the Toronto sports scene.
It is going to be a busy
couple of big hockey games, too, in the Leafs division. You got Tampa and Boston and Ottawa taking on the Habs tonight.
Ottawa Habs should be interesting. I think Price is going again.
Yeah, I'm
going
to watch that game.
Ottawa is reeling.
Yeah, they need to play a lot better than they have.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we'll tee that up next. All right, time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Brad Marchand expected to return tonight. Tampa coming off a game last night. Boston paying $2 at home.
You're taking it?
I'm going to take it. And I'm taking the Habs at home over Ottawa. Although Ottawa always seems to get their number. And they're due for a win. You guys on Ottawa tonight?
I don't know. I think I'm on the Habs. I think Price continues to roll. Be a tight game.
He's playing so well. And how do I not play Winnipeg?
Winnipeg is
in Colorado.
Destroying teams. They're a good team.
Like a 7-2 is a standard night. Like getting up the first two.
Yeah. That'll
look at fine. What they're doing to poor Bruce Boudreau.
Yeah, Brucey.
Just sent him off into a dark, dark place. Throw down 20, you can score 100. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. So you believe Price will continue to play well tonight. And I guess we shouldn't be surprised. Great players, man. They just return, and it's like they never left.
They get it dialed in, man.
He just looks a lot more comfortable. I went through both of his games and some saves. He made a save on 71, Captain. Foligno?
Nick Foligno, sorry,
I was drawing a blank. It was, to me, it encompassed exactly what Carey Price is. He's got really good leg power, really good edge work, just the athleticism and agility, plus the flexibility. If you were concerned about any lower body injury, that save said to me he's 100%.
Mm-hmm.
And it was at 1-0. He makes that save at 1-0, and you could just tell the team just got a little extra pep. You guys talk about it all the time. Frederik Andersen played really well last night, but he wasn't tested. But he made that big save on Tkachuk. That could have changed the dynamic of the game. I still believe the Leafs were
But that
fine.
Makes it 1-1.
But it makes it 1-1, and all of a sudden, maybe Calgary's legs get going a little bit. Maybe they get a little jump. Andersen had nothing, makes that save, and Calgary had really a couple other chances the rest of the game. But you know what it's like. Timely saves.
Freddie Anderson is a mediocre October away from being in the Vezina talk today. Mm-hmm. Like, the Vezina trophy doesn't isn't awarded today, so it doesn't really matter.
No, but he would
just
certainly
a hypothetical.
Be in the
generally around the end of February, beginning of March, you generally know who's going to be up for that.
Mm-hmm. But he's been so locked in November.
He's been terrific.
He's been so good. He's faced more shots than anyone else in the league.
Mm-hmm.
He gives up, it seems like, one or two a night tops.
Yep.
And the way this road trip sets up, he can play both games. He'll play tomorrow night, and you have to believe he'll play Saturday in Vancouver.
And it's been just, unfortunately, like you mentioned, the October, he's chasing the stats now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, his stats will continue to get better and better, but you throw up 6-8 mediocre statistical games. Like, you know, they won 8-5. There were games where they won 8-5.
Right.
You know, where you're giving up goals, you're still winning, but could he clean that up? Could the team clean it up? Absolutely.
He's up to a 919 save percentage. Like, he had to grind. He had to have an incredible, like, 10-12 game stretch to get to 919.
And that's healthily above the league average. The league average, I believe, the other day was 911. Devin Dubnyk's on that right now. And then you've got a lot of guys below that.
Right.
Cam Talbot's a 903. You want to ask about Edmonton? Yeah, I mean, I know Edmonton's got their struggles, but you need a guy who played 73 games last year, played the most amount of minutes. He can't be at a 903.
No. He's got to be healthy, too, and it sounds like he may not play tomorrow night.
Exactly. You know, you go right down. Carey Price is still battling to get his numbers. He's at 898 with a 324 save, or 324 goals against.
With one goal in his past two games.
Yeah. He's made 74-75 of his last in his last.
And he's still under 900.
Yeah, and it's going to take a while because his numbers were so poor leading up to this injury.
Well, you're right. I mean, you don't really need to pay attention until February, early March. Yeah. And the same thing applies in many ways to the standings. But tonight, a couple teams are losing that are chasing the Maple Leafs outside of Tampa. But let's say Tampa beats Boston. Let's say the Habs beat Ottawa.
Mm-hmm.
The Leafs are 9 points up on Boston. They're 11 up on Ottawa. Those teams keep, you know, collect a couple more losses. The Leafs collect a couple more wins. You can almost put them in the rear view. Like, you can't get too cocky. We've seen meltdowns before, and we've seen Cinderella moments where teams take off. But if you are 30 games into a season and you're 12 points up on a team,
you're pretty comfortable.
You should feel very good about yourself.
Yep.
You should.
Unless you're the Leafs of a few years ago,
which was a totally different story.
But it's
totally
a different team.
That's what I said off the top today, man. Like, I understand the way we work as a market. We are always finding something that's a little bit off.
Mm-hmm.
We're always waiting for the inevitable drop or the punch in the face.
You're waiting for the 18-wheeler to go off the cliff.
Yeah, and this team is different. They're built different. The DNA is different. The coach is different. The star players are different. The goalie's different.
But you just said it. There's only a few remnants left. And those players are the ones that they handpicked to stay behind. Like, what does Austin Matthews know about the 18-wheeler? He doesn't care. He
That's what you need. People that have nothing to do with it.
15 years old when it happened. 16 years old. What did he care about an 18-wheeler happening in Toronto? He had nothing to
I'll
do with it.
I'll bet you he wouldn't even know that reference. I'll bet you if you went up to him and said, hey, what did you make of the 18-wheeler? He'd be like, what the hell are you talking about?
He wouldn't.
Why would he know that?
But they don't know.
And that's good.
It is good, but they don't. I mean, they may.
Mitch Marner would probably know.
Because he's a local boy and he's probably.
Connor Brown, Zach Hyman.
Tracked the Leafs his whole life.
Mm-hmm.
But they'll know it, but they haven't experienced it in a way. They weren't even in the league when it happened.
Exactly.
They weren't on another team going, geez, what's going on in Toronto? They were in junior or in midget hockey.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, you know what? Like, you talk about a Toronto kid, and we haven't mentioned him yet today. He deserves a lot of credit for the way he played last night. Zach Hyman was great. He was the best player on that line.
Yeah.
Playing with Austin Matthews. Like, that's the kind of game where everyone should love that kind of effort. We're all going to debate if who he should be playing with, where he should be playing, how many minutes.
Right.
But that kid never cheats you, man. He is balls to the wall every single
shift. Every shift, yeah.
And last night, that's exactly what he did.
Zaitsev's goal, right?
Zaitsev's goal was all him.
It was him.
He battles on the wall.
Spins off and gets the puck through.
That's why Babcock loves him. Like, that's the tape Babcock looks at and is like, that's why I love this guy.
Yeah.
That's why he's playing. Yeah. That's why gave him 4 years.
The simple fundamentals that where guys can mail it in and think that nobody notices. Like a simple forecheck where you're like, do I really want to go and get that puck? He does it every single time.
Right. And there's a lot of players in the league that are like, nah, I'll tail this one off.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to get hit by that guy, or that's a bit of a confrontation I don't want, or I just don't feel like doing it.
Right.
He does it.
Every single time.
That's right, Brian Babcock.
That's my boy, Zach Hyman, my guy.
Is he?
Yeah. Well, he's a Toronto kid, man. Worked his way up.
I'll take a Connor Brown.
I like both guys.
Well, it's not, we can't choose, like Hyman hasn't done anything wrong for me.
I'm just saying, he's a whipping boy sometimes because he's got a Happy Gilmore element to time. You know, he works really hard. Sometimes you're like, is he going to take a skate off and stab some guy?
Yeah, you know that he's going to do everything he can to either win a battle.
But he had a really good game last night.
He was outstanding.
So how are we feeling tonight about TFC and the Raps? The Raps are going to win. I got the Raps tonight at Charlotte. Charlotte's not a great team, and Raps coming on. They haven't played
since
Saturday.
I'm not
going to
lie. I'm nervous about TFC. It's just everyone's like, oh, this is a slam dunk.
Nothing's a slam dunk.
A lot of scores early, man.
Soccer, man. Yeah, you can have all the possession in the world. You can have all the opportunity in the world.
And it could be a 0-0 tie to go to penalties.
They lose in penalties.
Yeah.
That's what they lost in the MLS Cup last year. Penalties.
Right, yeah.
Right? And listen, 0-0 in the first game. Columbus is here for a reason.
Yeah, they're
like
not
we focus on TFC because of the season they've had, and
they're not jobbers.
They are not. And do you know how many people were sending us notes last night and today
about jobbers?
Of just the greatest quote unquote jobbers in wrestling history.
There was one that sent it to us, and I couldn't remember the guy's name. Not the guy who pats himself on the back, but there was.
Oh, that's what's that guy's name again?
There were some gritsters.
Who's the guy that pats himself on the back? I don't know. It's
Malz.
Right on
you
the.
You guys talked about him yesterday.
I know. Malz would know him, but either way, it's a
Barry. Is it Barry Horowitz?
Yeah, something like that. It's
here's one guy, Ross Greenberg. Ross Greenberg
is a jobber in the WWE.
I guess he was on Monday Night Raw back in the day.
Well,
anyway,
Columbus is not going to be jobbers tonight.
No, so they won't.
TFC has to take them serious.
This is the Ultimate Warrior against Hulk Hogan. Yeah. WrestleMania 6 at the Sky Dome.
Exactly.
Iron Mike Sharp.
There's some good. Red Tyler, still my favorite.
Red Tyler's a good one. All right, boys. Let's try to smooth this finale out compared to the way we carved up yesterday's finale.
I want you both to answer this question or finish it off. We're going to be back tomorrow at 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.